Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. If you missed part one, go back and listen. Dr. Clancy shared her remarkable journey from forensic nurse to global strategist and introduced us to the mountaineering mindset. Now in part two, we're diving into the how, practical ways to grow your business, build resilience, and lead teams to their peak potential. Dr. Clancy, Shayna, welcome back to the show. And guess what? I forgot to update this one. Shayna, all right, let me do that intro again.
I look blurry when you spread the screen, though. I look blurry.
Really? Okay, because...
To myself.
To yourself, okay. That's because it's coming to me and then it's going back to you. So that there's a little bit of degradation. But on my side, you look good. Dr. Shayna, welcome back to the show. So excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm honored to be back.
You know, you've worked with entrepreneurs and leaders worldwide. What's one of the biggest mindset shifts you help them make when it comes to scaling a business?
In coaching the executives, especially the mindset shift really comes in just diving deep into those limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Everybody has them. Yeah. It's where are they coming from and how can we get you unstuck to seeing the positive and have that continuous affirmation to yourself that becomes outward automatic execution.
I love that because it's really important to understand, hey, where are they coming from? What are those expectations of them so that they can really make those shifts so that they can not be stuck anymore, you know, grow out of that. How do you help someone uncover those blind spots that are holding them back? Because a lot of the times you can't see the bottle from the outside. You're inside that bottle. You can't see the label. What are some of the things that you help them uncover?
The biggest piece that I use in method is motivational interviewing. Are you familiar?
No, please tell me
more. We might have talked about this a little bit offline, but the motivational interviewing really has the spirit, the core spirit that we all have the answers inside of us. It's just eliciting that. Mm. And so there's no approach that I take that's like, hey, here's your blinder, right? Because people are not going to be receptive to that. They're going to be like, who are you? Especially to tell me what to do and not do. Mm-hmm. So first, it's really investing in fostering that relationship, building that rapport, and then just helping people navigate what that internal dissonance is, and then transform that to bring to their awareness. Yeah. And half the time they think they've come up with it, and they have, but it might have been something that we've seen a mile away. Mm. But would never dare to just call them out on, because then they would become defensive and it wouldn't work either way.
And that's a really fun place to be when they don't become defensive, when they're like, oh my God, I didn't even see this before. That's really interesting. And that comes from, you know, like you said, building that relationship, building that connection with them through motivational interviewing and other ways of just connecting with them. Dr. Shayna, what's a practical exercise anyone can try today to strengthen their mindset?
The biggest piece of advice, usually I do not do unsolicited advice, so I usually ask people if they are open to it, would be to just train your brain, rewire your brain, because those internal dialogues that we don't prefer to have with ourselves need to be rewired. Mm. And so that starts with first taking ownership and responsibility of what that looks like, what the goal is that we're trying to get to, and then working backwards from that. So I like to say or suggest, little affirmations, or whenever you cancel out those negative thoughts, put that affirmation in places that you are often, like the refrigerator, the mirror when you're getting ready to brush your teeth before bed, anywhere, and just learn to digest that. And it automatically recreates the neural pathways that help you create that positive mindset.
I absolutely love that, because we are visual learners. We count so much on what we see. So if you have those visual affirmations all over the house where you spend the most time, guess what? It's giving us that confirmation and affirmation to say, hey, this is who you are. This is what you're meant to be. That's why there's so many different street signs on the road when you're driving to make sure, hey, pay attention, there's a turn coming up, or pay attention, there's this thing over here, or watch for, you know, deer crossing or ducks crossing or whatever might have, you know, be around in your area. So I love that you work with those affirmations and help them make that a part of a daily ritual. And I've been wanting to. I have a big sign on my door here that says teach everything you know. And I try to teach everything that I know to the best of my ability. And the more I do it, the better I get at it. So I need to have more messaging and more affirmations around me so that I can practice them even more. Now, Dr. Shana,
can I give you a suggestion?
Please, of course.
You have the sign, but what about tweaking it to, I am knowledgeable and well-equipped to train and educate folks around me?
Oh, that's so powerful. Yeah.
Some food for thought. Just step it up a notch.
I love it. I mean, that was a t-shirt that I was wearing, teach everything you know. But that's more the what you just said. I am knowledgeable and what was the other word? I'm knowledgeable.
I don't know. It's gone.
Right. It's gone. It's in the transcript. We'll pull it out. But that's more me focused. So when I read it, it's me affirming or reprogramming my mind and training my brain of who I am. Because then, like the saying goes, I am there. I think, therefore I am. Or I see, therefore I am.
It's what our thoughts become our words, and our words become our actions. It's very similar. Yes.
It's very similar.
I think the important piece, though, about having that visual is that when we say it, it holds a completely different weight than when we read it. Because now if we speak it, now you have muscle memory. And so you've got multiple senses plus the auditory because you're hearing yourself say it.
I love it. Well, Dr. Shana, let's talk about habits. What are some daily or weekly practices you've seen transform someone from just surviving to really thriving? And the example that you share about the affirmations is one of them. But what are some other practices people can do?
Journaling really tends to help people. I know I started journaling again. I haven't done that in years. God. But I was like, I better put my money where my mouth is and take it back down to basics.
Yeah.
So journaling is really therapeutic. It's also, right, if you just don't want to share whatever those thoughts are with somebody that you're close to or a stranger on the street, at least, you know, you can write it down, burn it, whatever you want. At least it gets it out of your head. So I think that is a awesome technique. Also, just working on being grounded, like feeling things around you, like your arms on a chair, your feet on the floor, just that constant presence of being present is a game changer.
Absolutely. And that's something that I started with journaling and blogging, right? It helps you get stuff out of your mind because, and this has been coming up over and over for the past couple months, is our mind, we've been using it as a storage place, right? As opposed to it being a place where you work or where you form thoughts and form ideas and whatnot. And as I'm looking at my desk right now, it's not a workspace anymore. It's more of a storage because I have so much stuff on here. And I think that's the same with our mind. You know, you want to put stuff away so that, and that's what we're doing with journaling and podcasting, you're putting stuff away so that you can actively use your mind. Now, how can somebody balance mindset work with tactical business strategy? I mean, those are two different things that people are doing.
They are two different things. That's what most perceive it as. Maybe I have a very interesting take on it because I think that they really complement each other. In my experience in working with, you know, executives or people who are starting to get up with businesses or just coming out of the trenches to kind of see the light or surface from wherever they're at.
Yeah.
The mindset piece is really the foundation and the springboard to any type of success or goal or peak performance. So if the mindset piece is not taken into account or at least forefront, there's still going to be that undertone that's missing because there will always be that like what if or subconscious, those internal tug of wars. Even if somebody is executing at their max potential, there's still going to be that woulda, shoulda, coulda. And I think that mindset piece really intertwines nicely. But most of the time, people think mindset's fluff. You know what I'm talking about? Like people are like, oh, mindset, you're going to change my mindset. Like that's so superficial. No, that's the foundation.
It is, yeah. You're absolutely right. The mindset makes such a huge difference. You know, who you surround yourself with, who you keep people around you, change how your mind reacts. There was a really powerful video that's been shown up, and it's Jim Rohn speaking to a group of people, you know, his speaking video. And he's like, okay, here I have a cup of coffee. If a friend of mine drops a piece of sugar in it, what's going to happen? And people are like, well, you're going to be fine because it's sugar. But it's like, an enemy drops strychnine or poison in your cup, what's going to happen? It's like, well, you're going to die. Like, well, what if we reverse the roles? What if a friend accidentally drops some poison? You're going to die. But if an enemy drops sugar, you're going to be fine. So having very strong doors or boundaries around our mind, because what we put on our mind becomes a reality and, you know, shows up in who you are.
It's like taking the stage, right? Or getting on a podcast before a show. Yeah. You literally, regardless what is going on right before you hop on, it could be you just got the worst news of your life. But it's showtime.
Yeah.
And you still have to get up, do what you need to do. The last thing you want to do is not show.
Yeah.
Or cancel last minute. And so you have to get your head back in the game and flip that switch to be at your optimal peak performance.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned peak performance a few times. What's your personal favorite peak performance routine?
Consistency, whatever that looks like. Everybody has a different routine. Everybody has something that works different. But as long as it's consistent in helping reach that goal, I say bottom line, that's one of the most important aspects.
You know, I love that word consistency because I've recently gave myself a challenge of riding 50 miles on the bike every week because I want to be able to ride that many miles on my birthday next year. So it'll be fun to, you know, keep that going. And I've already put in 20 miles, so I've got to do another 30 miles to meet that goal of doing it 50 miles a week. I got some time, but time flies too fast. It's already Wednesday. Okay.
I know.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's move on to the next topic of leadership or leading with integrity and impact. Now, leadership is such a big part of your message. What advice do you give leaders who want to build organizations that thrive without burning people out? Because we've seen that happen over and over before the pandemic, during the pandemic. What are some of the advices?
So first, I want to highlight there can be an addiction to leadership. Like, that constant needing to be in charge. And so I just challenge you and your audience to kind of think that through a little bit. I actually met with somebody at one point and she was so used to being in charge. Mm-hmm. Like I'm talking FBI, like you name it. She had to be in charge of the situation. And it really became an addiction, a rush to be that leader, that successful person. And when she realized that, it was like the aha moment for her. So I wanted to point that out because I think that's important. Most of us that are in entrepreneurship or these types of spaces are extremely type A, extremely competitive.
Yeah.
And that's where the burnout really can happen because we go until we hit the wall and then we're face down, like wondering what whacked us on the way out of work one day. But, you know, when we peel that onion back, that curtain back a little bit, what I hear a lot of folks say and talk to them on is whatever it looks like for you to get from point A to point B, do what's best for you physically, mentally, emotionally. And so people are looking for authenticity.
Yes,
and authenticity brings vulnerability. And a lot of times people at the top feel that they don't want to be vulnerable because they then it may be used against them. But that is what people really want. They want to know that they are heard, that they're relatable. Regardless of our title, we're all the same.
We're all the same.
To some degree.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, my friend. Now, as we are talking about authenticity, and this word has gone around so much in just the past few years, how can leaders model this resilience for their team through showing their authentic self?
I do retreats that are literally for this. They're resiliency retreats because just like authenticity has been thrown around, so has resilience. And people think it's bouncing back from. Resilience actually has quite a few meanings. And one of them is just kind of stepping back and reframing and validating, which is so powerful when you're making these high-stake decisions on the day-to-day basis, or even as a middle manager where you've got it coming from both ends, top down, bottom up, and it can be very chaotic. So just having that foundation and revelation to know like, hey, I need to step back, or my team needs just a room to breathe and then get their head back in the game, really helps with strategic planning, decreasing burnout, increasing ROI, right? Your overhead, because you're not rehiring because people are getting burned out and silently quitting, as the new term is.
Yeah. Wow. That's really powerful. And you're right. Resilience doesn't just mean you keep going over and over or you're coming back for something. It's about reframing. It's about stepping back and understanding and being aware of where are we taking the team, where are we looking, you know, where are we cutting corners, or where are we elevating the team members around us. I'd love to hear some success stories where a leader's mindset shift transformed an entire organization. I think this is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. So one of my clients I was working with had a business up and going, and what she discovered, because we're not going to tell people what they need to discover, and just eliciting that conversation and building that rapport, she tripled her income within 4 months.
Wow.
That is huge. It doesn't even matter what scale we're talking, whether we're talking like hundreds, you know, thousands, millions, like just tripling in that amount of time. And also coming up with different ways to diversify her portfolio as far as income, different income streams. I would say that was one of the huge success stories. Just amazing to see her shift that lightheartedness of like, I really can do this and I can scale at the same time, was incredible.
Wow. 3 times upgrade in salary, upgrade in revenue, whatever have you. That's definitely a huge mindset shift that transformed into their life. Like, their life is completely new now. Like, they can take on any challenge. Bring it on. They've done that.
100%. And the bottom line was confidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I absolutely love this story. I love this conversation. This is something that I can talk on for hours, but we don't have that much time. Dr. Clancy, thank you so much for bringing such a powerful message to Hacks and Hobbies. You've shown us that success isn't just about strategy or systems. It's about the courage to embrace failure, shift our mindset, and lead with purpose. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks so much. And for those listening, if you want to dive deeper into Dr. Clancy's work, check out her books, speaking engagements, and coaching programs. We'll have a list of all those links in the show notes below. And remember, don't let fear of failure hold you back. Freedom lives on the other side of risk. Until next time, keep climbing, keep hacking, and keep thriving. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.